Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Joyful, joyful.
You're in the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9 with
The Priest
and The Poof, the show where we talk about sexuality and spirituality for our community.
And good evening, and yes, you're on Spirit Lounge with Andrew and Joy. And tonight we're going to have a very special guest that we're going to introduce after the track. We're also going to tell you about the link between soy products and gay sex. I know that you'll all be sitting on the edge of your sofas wondering what the heck that's about. Well, hang on, you will learn later in the evening. But first, Andrew, we're going to start with the track. Tell us what we're listening to.
Yes, this one is a track from Avicii. It's called Hey Brother.
Joy 94.9.
And you're on Spirit Lounge with The Poof and The Priest. And if you'd like to send us a message, please SMS us at 0427-JOY949, or you can email us onair@joy.org.au, or go to the Joy 94.9 little thingy on your iPod or iPad thingy and you press the thingy button.
So and if you're using the Joy app, just click the Contact Us button.
Look, you do spoil it all the time and actually tell them. They could press any other button. And we don't know where that'd end up.
No idea.
That's fine. Okay, tonight's guest is the presenter on Joy 94.9 and received the 2013 Adam Stobbs Award for Broadcast Excellence at the Joy 94.9 Annual General Meeting. He is an Enough ambassador and contributor to Living Positive Victoria, who this year presented him with the Community Endeavour Award and the HIV Awareness Award. Normally he's the one interviewing people, however tonight we thought we'd put him in the hot seat, or should I say on that hot black leather sofa we have in the Spirit Lounge. Welcome, Dean Beck.
It's an absolute pleasure to be with you. Thank you very much for inviting me onto the show.
Lovely to have you. And now we thought we'd start with something a bit light and easy.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Right. You ready for this?
Yes.
How would you define spirituality?
Wow. Yeah, that is a nice, easy one. I think it's a personal connection to something greater than oneself, whatever that might be.
Yeah.
Sounds a bit ethereal, doesn't it?
It does sound very ethereal. Now, in your upbringing, did religion play a part?
Yeah, well, I did the standard every Sunday at Sunday school.
What sort of Sunday school was it?
It was St Andrew's Uniting Church in Bendigo.
Uniting Church brand, yeah. Mm.
And that particular...
Oh, the Poof's gone into raptures. That's his brand.
But it was, whilst it was in a Presbyterian, an old Presbyterian church, a very lovely church, St Andrew's in Bendigo, it was not really, I don't know, I guess I didn't know any different. It was Sunday school. We were there all the time. I sang in the choir. And at 13 or 14, I was confirmed within the Uniting Church. Then, you know, it all went to hell in a handbasket, I guess.
Did discovering you were gay have anything to do with going to hell in the handbasket, or?
Oh, look, the connection between being gay and what I was doing didn't happen until I was about 19. So, but I certainly had a sense that what I was doing wasn't what everyone else was doing, although there were a few doing it because I was doing it with them.
was it on church picnics or shouldn't I
It
ask?
Was actually, well, I'm glad you asked. It was on church grounds, actually, quite often. But at the back of the church, there was this second Bendigo Scout group, and you can fill in the gaps.
So were your parents religious, or are they still religious?
My father was an atheist. Interestingly, he was growing up in a country town, albeit Bendigo back then. You had the legal firm that was the, you know, Catholic legal firm and the Anglican legal firm and the Jewish legal firm. My father had a Seventh-day Adventist secretary and a receptionist who was Hindu, and you know, he didn't care what you were as long as you did well at your job and provided excellence in service. And he built a very good practice out of that by providing service to everyone else who didn't fit in, I guess. And that's how we were raised. So whilst my mother gave us a framework with Christianity, from the age of three, I was a member of the Bendigo Chinese Association, which my father was the honorary solicitor for. And we had Buddhist and Taoist and Taoist sort of philosophies as part of our rounded religious experience. I had no concept of what racism was till I was in my teens, and subsequently still don't really understand jealousy or guilt, because I guess of this sort of rounded, diverse upbringing that included my sister from being adopted from Thailand when I was six.
So was this quite common in Bendigo?
Not at all.
No.
No, but I was, you know, always the odd one out from day one, so that's all right.
Obviously your father was the odd one out too. And that he was an atheist, that wouldn't have been terribly acceptable, would it?
His mother passed away when he was just 15, and he saw that as the opportunity to leave the pub in which he was raised and shack up in what became our family home, but what my grandfather had purchased as simply a storage property for, you know, the tables and chairs that were from the pub and all the other bits and pieces. And so he was sort of self-living or self-sustaining in the sense that he lived off-site. But, of course, he went to the pub for meals and was waited on hand and foot by the kitchen staff and all of that sort of stuff. So
did your mother continue with the church once you were behind the church?
Well, that's a good question. My mother had her own midlife crisis following my father leaving the family. And, you know, she went to Nauru to teach on the island for 3 years just to get away from everything. And I think she had a lot of growth and a lot of questioning of her faith and her spirituality during that time.
Joy 94.9.
And you're on Spirit Lounge with Andrew and Joy, and our special guest tonight is Dean Beck. Dean, you've been very involved with raising awareness of HIV and AIDS through being involved in the Living Positive Victoria and also through Hide and Seek.
Yeah, I guess it was the foundation for my starting Hide and Seek was just that we needed to be more open and honest about our conversations around male sexuality, gay male sexuality, and we needed to have conversations that were sometimes a little difficult to have and to keep it in our conscience because it had seemed to go off the radar somewhat. And when you see things like what happened today, when I was contacted by a patient that is currently at Fairfield House, who has been informed that Fairfield House is closing on December 1, ironically that is World AIDS Day, and I just think that was bad management. Yeah, look, you know, World AIDS Day this year falls on a Sunday, and they probably saw, well, that's the end of the week, and, you know, Monday's start of a whole new month, so we'll do it on the Sunday. But it, you know, it hits hard when Fairfield House came about by community uprising and protests and marches in the street following the closure of Fairfield Infectious Diseases Hospital in the late 90s. And I just think it's bloody insensitive, frankly.
So what is their reasons they're giving? Or are they giving reasons?
Well, all will be revealed when Professor Sharon Lewin, who heads HIV at the Alfred Hospital, speaks to us on Saturday Magazine this coming weekend. So, you know, in short, my understanding is that there are plans to do other things with that facility that will be in line with HIV care. But it is nothing like what currently exists, and that is specialist care for those in a high level of need who have come out of sort of basically the intensive care section of Ward 7, the HIV section, and that are rebuilding their strength before, you know, going on to rehab. So that's not what it's going to look like in the future. And whether it keeps the name Fairfield House, who knows? But we have a long history of connection to that that name, and I think there would be quite a lot of disturbing community reaction if they were to drop the name Fairfield from whatever that facility becomes.
So just remind people when they can hear that interview.
This Saturday on Saturday Magazine. I hope the producer Ben and Macca agree to that. I'm just elbowing my way into their show with the Sharon Lewin's response, but I'm sure they'll want to take that interview.
Now, you were involved with a recent tour of Bishop Gene Robinson, and you also spoke to him about this issues to do with HIV?
Yeah, I did. Look, Bishop Gene was an extraordinary man, and my final question to him was this. Historically, when a plague has come upon the earth, religion has been there to help rebuild. It hasn't been the case with HIV and Christianity. And to this day, there are radical Christians who consider it to be God's curse upon gay men. It's no wonder many gay men have left the church, and why there is a community that continues to be ravaged by the disease when the love that should be there from all isn't. What would you suggest to the Christians who think that way?
Well, I would rarely say something like this, but I would probably say to them, if I were you, I would be worried about meeting Jesus someday, because you're going to have to answer for this. And he's not going to be pleased. This is as far away from the message he preached as could possibly be. And you're not going to have a very pleasant conversation. I would also point out that there have been some Christians who have indeed loved us the way Jesus loved us, who cared for those who were sick in our community even before we knew what caused it, and that it was no danger to help us. And Jesus will have a very different conversation with them. It seems to me that the picture that we get of this man that Christians believe to have been God, it seems pretty simple to me that this man loved others regardless. He touched people that were literally untouchable by the law. He associated with the people on the margins of society, especially those who had been discarded and condemned by the religious people of his time. And it seems to me that if we claim to be followers of his, then we have to do the same things with the same people that he did them with. And I think that's what we'll be judged by.
You spent a lot of time with this man, didn't you, over the when he was on tour? Should I say tour or road show here?
I was given unvetted access to Bishop Jean for the entire length of his Melbourne stay. And I've got to say, I went into it with quite a lot of hesitation, but knowing that it was a unique opportunity to gain access to a man who is at the top of his game. And so from a journalistic perspective, I had to grab it with both hands and run with it. And he's just amazing.
So what sort of things did you do? I mean, he obviously did various gigs.
He did quite a number of public speeches. Quite often he would say the same things, but to every audience he would target nuances and emphasise different aspects of his speech, sometimes giving different anecdotes to emphasise what he was saying that was specific to that audience to hammer it home. The overarching message was always the same. Some of the language was the same, but he would tweak it so that it was very much tailored to whoever he was speaking to. What I also got to witness was his non-public appearances and conversations with theological students and with priests, and he would present at forums to them in a very different way that was a lot harder hitting, that frankly was powerful.
Joy 94.9.
You're on Spirit Lounge with the Apoof and the Priest, and we've got...
And the pornographer.
And the pornographer. That's the gorgeous theme, Beck. Now, you're involved with this, obviously, World AIDS Day, not just on the...
voiceover.
Not just the voiceover, but you're involved. Tell us a bit more about what's happening.
World AIDS Day worldwide is like something that I don't know whether any station, community or otherwise, has ever attempted. We are... for 24 hours, going to air from 6 a.m. till 6 a.m. the next day. And we will follow World AIDS Day as it unfolds around the world.
Wow.
We have access to the top presenters that will be speaking at the conference next July. They will be delivering their latest research, their latest knowledge around HIV and AIDS. To us via Skype, and we'll be streaming that conversation and our presenters here at Joy via the web. So it'll be radio with moving pictures on a special website that we've set up just for this. It'll go right around the world. We will be taking questions from the world to our guests, and it is so huge and so daunting. Every time I think about it, I go into meltdown.
So you're not going to sleep for 24 hours?
No, I don't have the time for that.
No. Plus, of course, you need to prepare. So that's 24 hours beforehand.
Pretty much, yep.
Yeah, so 48 hours, you're going to, yeah.
Lots of coffee.
Exactly. I think an intravenous drip of coffee is going to be the go. Now, let's go back to talking about Bishop Jean Robinson. I believe you took him out on the town, is that?
Look,
is the rumour true?
No, it's not. I didn't take him out on the town. I believe that there were people in the organising committee, the younger members of the organising committee, that did take him out on the town. That was the Friday night, and the Saturday night I was hosting his gala dinner farewell. So I knew that I had to be on my best game to be the host of that. So I laid low that night, and others, I believe, did take him out, and he enjoyed his night on the town, and he was fine.
But what happens out on the town stays out on the town.
I wasn't there. I couldn't tell you.
No rumours. Now, we've got another clip, haven't we, from your discussion with him?
In this, I kind of asked Bishop Jean Robinson why it is that there are so many poofs that like to become priests.
Why is it, do you think, so many gay men are attracted to the priesthood?
Well, I think... so many gay men are attracted to the Roman Catholic priesthood because if you've got this terrible thing about you and you have the option of going into a line of work that requires a vow of celibacy, then maybe that's the thing that will enable you never to act on it and therefore never be horrible in God's eyes. Of course, that turns out not to be true.
But isn't celibacy a failed experiment?
Well, indeed, in recent days, right here in Melbourne, I believe the Cardinal just admitted that he thought celibacy might be part of the problem. It's certainly not the solution to the problem. It seems to me that the solution to the problem is affirming LGBTI people as the children of God they are, and then the rest looks easy from there.
The abuse of the gay community, gay men particularly, by Christianity, and putting them into the same mix as paedophiles, whilst this is going on behind the scenes within various denominations of Christianity, seems to me to be just abhorrent, but yet they use it as leverage. What are your thoughts on it?
It's one of the most vicious lies that is told about us. It angers and hurts me to this day when I hear it. You know, the last pope thought he could respond to this pedophile scandal by having a witch hunt in the seminaries and in the church to throw out all the gay men who were priests. And, you know, there are lots of gay and straight men who are priests who live by their vow of celibacy, and it is so hateful and frightening for them. It's one thing to say something that you're just ignorant of the truth, but when you know what the truth is and you continue to tell the lie, that seems to me to be very, very evil.
What I find interesting about that is that Bishop Jean made reference to Roman Catholic priests being attracted to the priesthood. He didn't reference the huge number of poofs that are Anglican ministers or vicars and the extent to which gay men are attracted to that particular denomination.
No, funny that, isn't it? But you and I actually got into trouble, didn't we, about the celibacy question when we interviewed American.
Oh, what was that wanker's name?
Andrew Merrin, I think it was.
Yes, which...
And he was a straight boy.
Straight guy, arguing on our behalf, which was very nice of him.
Well, was it, though?
But he described celibacy, if I'm right, as a viable option.
He talked about it all the time in his book, as almost like it was the only option for us.
If you wanted to be accepted by your community and loved by your God. And yet, yeah, whatever.
And it was interesting because I went to Chicago for a conference and had the pleasure of going in the Pride March, where a million people turned out to cheer. We were number 30 in about 200 groups and floats. Yeah. It was just amazing. And down towards the end... And we walked a blooming long way, let me tell you. But down towards the end, here's that guy.
Right.
And his group of supporters standing in front of about three protesters saying that they're doing this big deed by protecting us from the protesters. Yeah. I mean, really odd. Hmm. But people sort of didn't like what we said to him, did they?
No. And he certainly thought that he was coming onto a program where he was getting a free plug for his book. But by the time the conversation ended, he couldn't wait to get out of here, could he?
No, and we recommend no one bother to buy the book or read it.
So we won't mention him again.
Exactly. Why do you think that so many religious people are threatened by homosexuals?
Oh, look... Who knows? It's one way to pick on somebody that you can think you can justify it by an external source, and that being either the Bible or by God or whatever. But I think you've got to look internally and ask yourself, what is it that is burning within that is fueling this hatred? And, you know, much of it, I think, comes from internalised homophobia.
Yeah, and I wonder, too, is that we're actually very open about who we are and what we do, whereas straight people... don't talk about it, do they?
Yeah, but I think, and it's a conversation...
They do it without talking about it.
A conversation I had with Bishop Jean where I said what I was getting from him was a sense that integrity and authenticity are not negotiable. And he said to me, the problem is those two things are all too negotiable. And whilst he strives to project that a level of authenticity in all that he does so that it's transferable. I think when people are, particularly gay people, are comfortable within themselves and can remain true to themselves, that's very threatening to a lot of people because they can't be that themselves.
But also we can turn it around because a lot of gay people are threatened by those of us who do have a faith.
Look, I've got to tell you, I numerous times would go on air here at Joy 94.9 and generically bash religion and Christianity for all of the ills of our community. And what I discovered in spending time with Bishop Jean and those who had brought him out and were looking after his speaking engagements was that out there in the big wide world, there are lots and lots of Christians at all levels of hierarchy that are quietly going about advocating for our rights to not only be accepted, but, you know, to have what everybody else has. And we as a community actually need to acknowledge that they exist and thank them for the great work that they are doing, because it is them that will change attitudes, not us yelling about it and banging on about it. All that will do is push and create resistance. But if their own kind are speaking on our behalf and trying to create the change, we should be supportive in that. We should acknowledge that and thank them for that.
I met up with a wonderful woman who I've known for many years, Meryl Kitchen, who was one of the first Christians who, she's from Baptist tradition, who tried to get a church response to HIV way back in the early days. She's lost jobs because of it. She got death threats.
You know,
Members of her family won't speak to them because of it.
I interviewed Rachel Berger, a fellow Enough ambassador, and she told me, and she's been working in this sort of advocacy role with HIV for 25 years. In the early days, and for many, many years, she didn't get any gigs because she was speaking up on behalf of those with HIV. So it comes to a nice reminder for me to remind you that come World AIDS Day, we need 1,500 more signatures on the Enough HIV Stigma campaign website, and you can make a stand against HIV stigma by signing up to the Enough Pledge. Simply go to enough.org.au, sign up, and make your commitment to stand up against HIV stigma.
Joy 94.9.
And that was The Gorgeous Horse with Breaking the Silence.
Giddy up.
Yeah. We've got a couple of messages. And the first one says, "Hi, I was in Fairfield House in September. I noticed its decline in need of refurbishment of staff." So they weren't surprised about the announcement today.
Yeah, look, I know that Professor Sharon Lewin will have more to say on this matter and the future of Fairfield House this Saturday, and I've had it confirmed from the producer of SatMag that we will have time to speak about it from 10 a.m. Saturday 10 morning.
10 a.m. Yeah. So if you listen in from 10 a.m. and then someone else says, "Beautifully said, Dean."
Which bit?
All of it, of course.
All of it.
Very good. You've interviewed quite a few religious people in your time.
I have.
4 years, isn't it? You've been...
Four and a half. Well, 4 years and a bit since Hide and Seek started, but for the 6 months leading up to the start of Hide and Seek, I was on air often filling in for Adam Stobbs and others, yeah.
Right,
and so... And guests, you know, elbowing my way in.
So who are some of the more memorable people you've interviewed, religious people?
Yeah, look, other than Bishop Jean, certainly one of the ones that stands out in my mind was Reverend Elder Diane Fisher from Metropolitan Community Church. And the other person from Metropolitan Community Church that we spoke to on Christmas Day, and was
the moderator.
The boss.
Reverend Elder Nancy Wilson.
Her Holiness, the great Nancy.
She doesn't wear a mitred hat or anything, though.
No, but...
Very down to earth.
She did give us a lovely blessing on Christmas Day, which was really nice of her, actually. Father Bob McGuire, of course.
He's a character, isn't he?
He is definitely that. he's a tough interview, actually, because he just bounces all over the place. But it's funny, whilst you were interviewing him, you think, oh, my God, where is he going? Listening back to my interview with him, it all makes sense.
Well.
But at the time, you think, what on earth is he on about? But yeah, he's not. He's just an eccentric, I think. And of course, probably the one that stands out the most was this mad woman who I met, who's from New Zealand, raised in a cult, decided that she would then become a religious minister, and now she has a radio show.
Yeah, well, insanity is a great thing, isn't it? But, you, Dean, you interviewed Reverend Elder Diane Fisher and I at 11 o'clock at night mm-hmm. on Hide and Seek.
Yes.
And when I said to Diane Fisher, we're going into
to a
this
sex
radio
show.
Station. Yeah, to the sex show called Hide and Seek at 11 o'clock at night. She just sort of shook her head and thought, yeah, okay, whatever, Joy. But you were instrumental in getting Spirit Lounge happening.
Look, I find...
In some ways.
Yeah, I often listen on a Sunday night to John Cleary on ABC, and I love listening to that because it's really a philosophical discussion. You can take the religious element out of it and just consider it a conversation from a philosophical perspective. And that's brain food. And I think we need that on Joy. And there are plenty of people within our community that have a spirituality that may not be Christianity, but is a strong sense of something. And I think they need to be served by the conversations that you guys have. And I want to credit you for picking up the mantle and running with it, because ultimately we all benefit from it.
And I think the outside broadcast that you... that we did.
Yeah.
And that you managed to get us organised for.
That was amazing.
Which was amazing.
It was good. We did a Freedom to Be outside broadcast from the foyer of the Victorian AIDS Council. And the conversations that we had on air that night were extraordinary.
Yeah, they were quite amazing, the people we spoke to. And not all religious people.
Not at all, no.
No.
And some of them quite badly damaged, yet prepared to speak openly about their situation. And I can't thank them enough.
I was interested to see a posting in social media by the Atheist Church.
There's an Atheist Church?
The atheists have a church.
Right,
but
okay.
But they're having choir practice. They're doing everything that a church does, except they left God out.
Right.
And they were saying in the choir practice, you have to turn up because you've got to be measured for your robes.
Of course you do.
And I thought, this is
smoke
very
and mirrors.
Odd.
Yeah, it's all
why
smoke and
not
mirrors.
Do something new? You going to do something?
Dean, thank you so much for joining us.
That's all right,
on
Andrew.
Spirit
thank
Lounge
you so much for saying
tonight.
Something finally.
Uplifting, informing, empowering. Joy 94.9.
You are in the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9.
We've got another message, Andrew. Now, you haven't said much all night, so you can read it out.
I haven't said much all night. A very interesting show. Loving it. Thanks, Joy, and the gorgeous Andrew. And thanks, Rob, for your kind
message. This is our
message.
Number one fan.
Our number one fan.
We love you too, Rob.
Oh, fantastic, fantastic day today.
Thank you, Dean Beck.
Pleasure.
And we are not going to tell you about soy products and gay sex tonight. You're going to have to tune in next week.
Yeah, we did. We ran out of time for all of that fun stuff. Until next week, I'm the Poof.
I'm the Priest. Good night.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with Joy.